Welcome to the Fetish Show.
The Fetish Show explores kinky sex, adult entertainment, relationships, and BDSM lifestyle. Your hosts are fetish photographer and BDSM mentor, Dirk Hooper. He is joined by professional dominatrix and fetish model, Princess Zoe. And now, here's Dirk and Zoe.
I think you know what's gonna happen tonight. I'm all happy, thank you, babe.
Welcome to the Fetish Show. I'm Dirk Hooper, and I'm joined, as always, by the generous Princess Zoe. How you doing, Zoe?
Well, I'm doing very charitable. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Good.
Why don't you tell us what's coming up on the show today?
Why don't I tell you what's coming up on the show today? You know, I was thinking, Dark, I should tell you what's coming up on the show.
That's a great idea.
That is such a good idea.
I'm so glad you came up with that.
Let me tell you. What's coming up is the Human Library. The Permanent Boner. The Permanent Boner. I'm interested in that one.
Of course you are. That was chosen with you in mind.
Was it?
Okay. Yes, yes.
And a story truly full of shit. How about that?
Yeah.
Will of Fetish is, once again, about a penis.
Mm-hmm.
Or penises.
Because you're all about the penis.
Or peni, should I say.
Right.
We talk about role-playing on the Whipping Post, or in the Whipping Post, I should say. And in The Advisor, we answer a question about submissives given to us possibly by a submissive.
Interesting.
Interesting. So that's what's up.
This is a jam-packed episode. That's what you're saying. It's jam-packed.
It's jammed and packed.
And packed. It's packed and stacked.
There you
it's
go.
It's stacked and packed and jammed.
And ready to roll.
Yes, it is.
All right.
Well, if you haven't noticed already, we have some new bumpers on this particular episode.
Fucking awesome. I noticed.
Princess Zoe totally hooked us up with a gentleman named Matt Kemp who works
who at... Who totally hooked us up.
Who works at Kemp Music. Which is that music is spelled with a K, kempmusic.com.
Not
if you're
Hemp
interested.
Music, Kemp.
he did what's called podcast imaging, which means that he did our bumpers for us. So after we've been doing this for quite some time, we've got some professionally produced bumpers, and you will hear them throughout this entire episode.
And throughout the rest of our entire episodes
sure.
from here to come. We yeah. are professional. All professional.
Right.
All new.
I think they really sound good. We've worked on them. I think we've probably mentioned them in the last few episodes. We've worked on them for maybe a month and a half, and we've actually wrote them out and been dealing with this for maybe the last few months,
yeah,
to be quite
honest.
Yeah,
I told you, it takes some time when you're in the studio. And we're still not quite all the way done yet. We've got a little tweaking to do and a few little things to add, but it's doing good, sounding good. Thank you, Matt.
It is. Yeah, I want to thank him because he did an amazing job for us, and it just moves us up another level. We appreciate that.
And that's actually his voice that you hear on a lot of these.
He's like our announcer guy.
Yeah, so him and we have a couple other people.
Right.
You would be one of those. I would be one of those.
Right.
Mia Moore would be one. Keely, our friend.
Right.
From overseas there.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, we had a lot of people pitch in on that.
Yeah, we did.
Went to a professional studio. I mean, the studio that we're in right now is getting better all the time. We're adding equipment. We're doing a lot of things to make the facility better. But RK1 Studios is top of the line facility.
Yeah, that's what they do for a living.
Yeah.
So yeah.
And they have sound booths and stuff, which is
They're hooked up. They're hooked the fuck up.
And I know that Princess Zoe is used to being in studios and stuff like that because she's done professional singing and that sort of thing, but it's new for me, so I thought it was pretty cool.
It was cool. Yeah, I've recorded a few songs professionally, and so it's a cool experience, as you got to see for yourself.
Yeah.
So.
We want to make an announcement right here on this episode.
Let's make it.
We're going to be going to Kinky Carnival.
We are
again
going.
This year.
Yes, we are.
That's in Kansas, Kinky Carnival, Kansas.
Yeah, Wichita.
It is June 1st, 2nd, and 3rd this year. This is 2012, just in case you're listening to an old episode. If it's like 2016 and it's after the apocalypse and stuff, but you are still listening to this podcast, it's too late. You can't go to this particular Kinky Carnival.
Yes, that's right. We're going to be there again. And we met Captain Thomas there last year.
Yeah.
and a few other cool people. So a unicorn.
Unicorns,
yeah. They're at a bigger and better hotel, from what I understand.
And they've got some pretty interesting people that are showing up there already, it looks like.
Yeah, from what I hear.
Including us. Yeah, we're setting up. We're going to be doing interviews like we did last time.
Yeah. Do you know any of the presenters that are going to be there?
I do not. You just put me on the spot there.
I believe there's going to be an author there. People,
is there?
I believe so.
Okay, well.
I think so.
Oh. Can we say that? Can we say who it is?
I don't know.
Let's table that.
Yeah.
Anyway, if you're interested in knowing more about Kinky Carnival, then we would like to invite you over to their website, which is kinkycarnivalks.com. And by the way, that's all spelled with K's.
Yes, it is.
So don't spell it with like a C or a Q.
Carnival.
Or like a dash. Stick with the K's on that. And if you still can't find it, then go to our website. We'll put that up there.
Yeah. And it's on FetLife too. You can find it on FetLife.
Yeah.
So there you go.
In addition to that, we have a bunch of new segments for the show. We've been working on kind of tightening up the show and presenting some new segments. When you're talking about doing bumpers and stuff, you figure out what your segments are going to be for the next, you know, the rest of your life, basically. And so, you know, we've bandied about some ideas on some stuff, and we want to continue to, you know, tighten up and improve and stuff. So look out for a lot of new segments that we have.
Yeah, I was thinking about maybe posting the name of the segments and the description there on the website so people can kind of see what they are and kind of get a feel for what the content's going to be in those segments.
Right.
What to expect in the future.
There you go.
There you go.
Well, Princess Zoe got a very nice letter from a gentleman who is known as Six String Dom.
On FetLife.
On FetLife.
Yes.
And I'd like to read that.
Please do.
For everyone right now. It starts out, "So, I took a listen to your show, listened to BDSM Legal Talk as well as show 23. I have to say I was hesitant because I thought it was going to be really unprofessional, not because you were doing it, but because I work in the entertainment industry. I manage several major label artists and producers. That being said, I got hit up about internet radio shows and such all the time, and usually it's just someone with a few bucks to buy some gear and launch something nobody listens to. So, I was very impressed."
In caps.
"Your show was very professional, to the point, entertaining, and I didn't want to stop listening. Thank you for renewing my faith in underground stations with a voice. I will be spreading the word. Best of luck with your future."
That's amazing. Thank you.
Signed, Six String Dom. Thank you very much.
Yeah. He and I have been communicating a little bit back and forth, and I invited him to come down to OKC, and I invited him out to lunch if he comes down. He wants to come see the memorial here, so I said, come on down. And if you're here on a Thursday, maybe you can come in and sit in on a recording. So hopefully we'll get to meet him in person. So,
that's cool. Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, we appreciate the comment.
If you haven't been to Oklahoma City and you have an idea of what Oklahoma City is, you may be wrong.
Or you may be right.
Well, you might be right in some regards, but I'll tell you, Oklahoma City has changed quite a bit in the last, say, decade. And
yes,
the memorial is one of the things. It's really first rate.
And the whole downtown area. I mean, we've got the Riverwalk down there. And
yeah.
It's a lot of money and time put into that. Yeah.
It's really pretty down there.
And we're here.
They've got that's right. they've got some first-rate galleries and stuff down
the
there.
Botanical gardens.
The Myriad Gardens down there. And a huge building that is almost finished down there. The new Devon Tower is going up.
And the Cox Center, the Ford Center,
what
all centers are down there.
Well, it's now the Chesapeake Energy Center, which is right now.
Some stuff where you have some concerts and shit like that.
So. Yeah. There's a lot of stuff going on here, and it's still, you know, still the buckle of the Bible Belt, but we're doing our best to change that.
So, you know, that I read that Oklahoma City has more cables laid underground than anywhere else in the United States, I guess, because it's like kind of central, so you got stuff going east, west, north, south, so
right
central here. More cables, fiber optics, underground in Oklahoma City than anywhere in the United States.
Yeah, they try out a lot of stuff here, too.
Like what?
Wi-Fi. We were up for one of Google's Wi-Fi projects and some other stuff for whatever reason. I don't know why. But.
Yeah, that's probably why I can't remember anything. I probably have brain damage from that. Just kidding. It was something else.
All right. I think that's going to wrap it up for our introduction section. And up next is the Fetish Show news.
Guy and Princess Zoe. You are listening to your dominant source for fetish news, kinky events, interviews, advice, and reviews. This is The Fetish Show.
Is it just me, or do you feel kind of inadequate now since we have these bumpers? It's like, do we have content that's good enough for these bumpers?
I don't feel inadequate.
I don't know.
I definitely don't feel inadequate. Here, let me feel of you.
I'll just say, do I feel inadequate?
You kind of feel funny.
All right. That's what I'm talking about. Welcome to the Fetish Show News. We begin tonight from the San Francisco Weekly, a follow-up on a previous story. You can get your kinky caffeine fix at Wicked Grounds again. Live Soma reports the cafe, which serves as a major hub of the local BDSM community, reopened over the weekend. If you'll remember, it initially closed in October because of financial issues, but at last, there's a place to get coffee in a dog bowl again.
Again.
Well, I'm kind of happy about that because I didn't find out about Wicked Grounds until like after it closed. And I thought, well, damn it. If I go to San Francisco, I want to go to that place, but now I can't.
You want your coffee in a dog bowl, you weirdo?
You know, it's the way I roll.
That's what I like about you, Dirk.
I also want to go to the kink.com thing, by the way. I didn't mention that in this because they're going to have a Valentine's Day deal. And this is going to run after Valentine's Day. But basically, they're going to allow couples to come through the kink.com headquarters, which is the armory down there in San Francisco.
We should be at that.
How awesome is that? You get to tour through the big dungeon there and see all the people and stuff. They're going to have, you know, like demonstrations and all.
That's really cool.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. But it's already happened. So sorry you missed that. I covered it anyway, though, didn't I?
You did after the fact.
Fuck you. You missed it.
Retro.
From EdensFantasies.com, Ottawa's new human library. Canada, you've charmed us once again, this time with your human library, wherein patrons of Ottawa's libraries will be able to borrow a human being for 20 minutes at a time. Included in their selection will be a prostitute, a stripper, an HIV-positive man, and a transgendered woman who will talk with the patrons about their lives one-on-one. The human subjects, who will also include, depending on which branch you go to, it is a library, an urban aboriginal, a Muslim woman, a police officer, and a Peking opera performer. They will make presentations. They will not make presentations, but will have conversations with patrons. The event is meant to promote diversity and dialogue, says a story in the National Post. Of course, there are some people, who have objected to the checking out of sex worker and the stripper, but, quote, books are about information, and information comes in many, many formats, and a human book is a unique way of presenting information. The role of the public library is to provide access to information, said Elaine Condos, the city's acting librarian.
Who qualifies you as a human book, I wonder?
I don't know.
It's interesting.
You want to be a human book for a while? They could add a professional dominatrix to that.
Yeah, I think that would be really cool.
I think you would be interesting to talk to. They could check you out.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm here to check you out.
You as well, Dirk.
Ah, very nice. Princess Zoe found this story, and it's also a follow-up to a previous story. Los Angeles Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa. Hey, I nailed it. Last week enacted a law requiring male performers in adult videos to use condoms. Simi Valley Mayor Bob Huber and the rest of the Simi Valley Council likely will follow suit soon. The council tonight will take up an ordinance modeled after Los Angeles's to discourage the adult video industry from transplanting its productions from that city's San Fernando Valley, which has a reputation as the nation's porn capital, to neighboring Simi Valley, a short drive on westbound Highway 118. The AIDS Healthcare Foundation, the driving force behind the Los Angeles ordinance, said the law is necessary to protect adult video performers from HIV and other sexually transmitted diseases. In response to Los Angeles's ordinance, several of the industry's biggest studios said they might consider moving outside the city to make videos without condoms. Simi Valley was mentioned in one media report as a possible new location.
Wasn't there some problems with them going outside of the city when there's some other kind of laws or whatever in effect that I preclude them from doing that? I believe we talked about this before.
Well, there's only a couple of places in the nation that you can legally make porn movies. And yeah. California happens to be one of them. But if they're passing these ordinances, you know, they're going to have to find someplace else.
Yeah.
I find it hard to believe they couldn't go to Las Vegas.
Yeah, I wonder what would happen if you break this ordinance here. Would you get a ticket or
well,
something?
You're going to get a fine. Yeah. And I guess they can shut you down. You know, maybe a tax issue or something. I don't know. Basically, what they do is if you file for a filming permit, then they can come and, you know, check out your production at any time.
Yeah.
So if you're trying to do it legally, and a lot of porn is shot underground, which this could also force porn to go underground.
A lot of it is anyway.
Yeah, it is.
There should be some grandfather clause into people that already have their license or whatever to shoot porn.
Right.
So, I don't know.
It seems strange to me. Anyway, I want to make a few comments about this. I think it's obviously a nanny state government issue. It's another case where there's not really a problem here. They've by solving a problem that's not a problem, they've created a problem.
I agree with you on that.
California is dying for money. They're dying for money. Anything, money. Are you really going to drive out the $10 or $20 billion porn industry?
It's amazing.
I mean, that makes no sense to me at all.
It's got to be political.
There's also something else that I noticed. In the last 10 years, did a little research. How about that?
Did you now?
I'm like Tom Brokaw.
All right.
Did a little research. In the last 10 years, there's been 6 cases of HIV within the porn community. 6 in the last 10 years. That's about 1 every 2 years, right? For 2009 alone, AIDS in California cases were 3,760 cases.
Wow.
Which means if you were in the porn industry, you were actually safer than if you were on the streets of California.
Well, that's, I don't know what the ratio is, you know, porn stars to the general population, but I know that they do have to have them.
Well, they're the most promiscuous people on the planet.
Not necessarily so. Not necessarily so. I mean, I know that they have to be checked out. They have to have their card or whatever. And so they can't just go out and on the set and they have to be tested, I think, once a month, I believe.
Yes.
So.
6 cases in 10 years is exceptionally low.
I believe you're right.
And there's no one in the industry that doesn't know that there is that risk.
Right.
And isn't rolling the dice on that. I mean, hasn't chosen to do that.
And there's nothing to say that these people contracted HIV by being a porn star.
Exactly.
So.
Anyway, that's my opinion on it. I think it's ridiculous. Let adults do what adults do and stay out of it.
I agree with you.
All right, from Mia Moore, via Jezebel, via MSNBC, and for Princess Zoe, after a 21-year-old Iranian man had Persian script reading, quote, good luck on your journeys, and the first initial of his girlfriend's last name tattooed on his penis, he was left with a permanent semi, according to the most recent Journal of Sexual Medicine, which is a fantastic read, by the way.
Permanent semi?
No, the Journal of Sexual Medicine.
Oh.
That is fantastic. And the centerfold is amazing. Doctors explained that the traditional handheld needle that was used for the tattoo punctured holes that were too deep. Quote, that damaged the vessels in the penis, resulting in fistulas and then a pseudoaneurysm.
Wow.
A pooling of blood outside a vessel wall. Unquote. The young man tried having shunt procedure performed, but it didn't work to relieve the swelling. He since rejected any more treatment because he's probably realized that the side effect of the tattoo was that his dick looks bigger all the time.
Because it is.
Exactly. He's got a semi, man.
Yeah, wow.
Boner cops. Boner cops.
Permanent boner.
And finally, from the Herald Sun, a story with some age. This has got a little age on it, but it just had to be told. A British man with a fetish for cow manure was beginning a 2-year jail sentence today after he was caught sexually pleasuring himself while covered in dung on a farm in southwestern England. David Trescott, 41, was found naked apart from a single sock by former Clive Roth's 16-year-old son. When officers arrived, he was covered in a large amount of shit and mud and was surrounded by tissues because he's, you know, trying to be clean, I guess. It was the third time he was caught in a similar circumstance at the same farm. He was previously jailed for offenses linked to his fetish. Judge Christopher Elwin turned down defense calls for a suspended sentence, saying that Truscott had to be jailed for his, quote, bizarre and perverted activities, unquote. How about that?
Dude, why didn't he just buy some cow shit and take it to his house and dude, like put it in his bathroom really? And, you know, put it in his bathtub or some shit like that?
Exactly.
I mean, if in fact the cow shit is the fetish, I venture to say that's not the only part of this fetish. I think it has something also to do probably with being out in the open and probably on the farm. I don't know. But
like a naturalist.
Or something. Well, why wouldn't you just go buy a bag of cow manure and fucking dump it in your bathtub, dude?
I don't know, man. You know, what a guy does with cow manures is kind of his own business, you know?
Well, it was someone else's cow manure. That's the problem.
Well, that is the problem. Get your own damn
get
cow
your own
manure,
fucking cow shit, dude. Don't be using someone else's cow shit.
What is wrong with people?
I don't know. Fucking using someone else's cow shit. Jacking off in someone else's cow shit is just wrong. Jack off in your own cow shit.
Exactly. I think that's words to live by.
That is. Jack off in your own cow shit.
Exactly. If we had that little NBC thing, The More You Know,
yes,
song that we could play right now, this would be a good time for that. To wrap up the Fetish Show news tonight, I want to mention some of the articles that we have on our website, which is thefetishshow.com. We have Debauchery Development by Jay for Provocative Media. We have Are You Experienced by Tara Buckley. We've got a couple of articles from our production director, Mia Moore, which is the Lilo Lila Review, and her trip to the Jean Paul Gaultier exhibit. And by the way, she has another 188 articles waiting to be published, so you might want to check that out on there.
Wow.
There's also the Lady Lucy Latex Couture and the Fetish Art of Signe Vilstrup Photography. And there's a unique fetish in our video section. And that's it.
Yes, unique fetish in our video section.
How about that?
You just almost said that's it without...
Do you like that?
You just kind of pressed right
well,
on
Well, I
by
don't
that.
Want to tell them what it is. Go all to our right, video right, section right, yeah. and see the unique fetish. It's actually a lingerie commercial.
Yeah, it's
from
commercial
Agent Provocateur. And it's awesome. It's really cool.
It is a cool commercial.
You should see it.
Go see it.
Vanilla Wilson should go see it. So that's it for the Fetish Show News.
The Fetish Show has thousands of kinky adult listeners and is growing with every episode. If you'd like to reach a highly targeted audience of BDSM lifestylers and curious sexual adventurers, then contact our advertising team at info@thefetishshow.com.
And now it's time for
Wheel of Fetish!
Welcome to the Wheel of Fetish. I'm your hostess, Princess Zoe. And this evening we're going to spin the wheel and see what fetish that the wheel lands on. And that's what we're going to discuss this evening. Go ahead, Vanilla Wilson, spin the wheel.
The excitement's killing me. I don't know what to do, really. I'm standing here beside myself.
And would it land on there, Dirk?
Forced by.
Forced by.
Yes, forced by.
So that's the fetish we get to talk about this evening, forced by.
All right, bring it.
All right.
Not literally.
So you want me to force by you?
I'm out.
Forced by, an activity usually related to femdom. In practice, it includes activities in which the dominant female forces the submissive, usually heterosexual male or female, to engage in homosexual acts for her amusement. In the case of male submissives, it can be part of feminization. Some of the males and females who engage in these activities may be heterosexual, and it may be referred to by femdom as breaking him in or breaking her in or breaking his manhood. Forced by is a common part of femdom activities, usually takes the form of submissive male or a cuckold being forced to perform oral sex on the femdom, who is typically his wife or girlfriend, or in my case could be the mistress, dominatrix, on another male who has deposited his semen in her vagina don't necessarily do that act.
Semen.
Or the submissive male being forced to perform oral sex on other males. There so, or spy.
You should, I wish that everyone could see Vanilla Wilson over there, who's our engineer, who is shaking his head and he's not... He wants to hear more, frankly. I think he wants to hear more.
Well, let me clarify one thing, too. I did say that I do some forced buy sessions, but the part about the male depositing semen in her vagina is part of forced buy sessions. I do not do this. Let me just say that in practice, I do not do this.
Right.
In a professional setting. So there you go.
So it's kind of a like a humiliation type thing for submissive males. It's like in some cases like the ultimate humiliation, you know, like.
Well, there's some different schools of thought on that. Some people think that the primary turn on is that it's the female being the dominant and just making the male do something because she has control over his body.
Right.
Or whatever.
He's willing to even be bisexual.
Right.
Because of his devotion to the dominant.
Exactly. You know, I do have to say that my theory on being bisexual is not that you give head. I don't think that makes you bisexual. I just think that makes you sexual. I think everyone kind of wants to know what it's like to put a penis in their mouth.
Especially so. Vanilla Wilson.
He looks especially like he vanilla. Wants a penis in his mouth. No, I'm just saying that.
Just saying the evening's young.
I don't necessarily think that makes you bisexual or homosexual just because you suck a dick. I just think it maybe makes you sexual.
Hmm.
So that's my theory on that.
All right. So you're saying you can experiment a little bit, and that's okay.
I'm saying yes. I'm saying you can. Yeah.
You don't have to put a label on it.
No, not at all. I just think that makes you sexual.
Yeah, that's cool.
Not necessarily bisexual, but anyway, that's my definition of forced bi, and I'm sticking to it.
There you go.
So that is the will of fetish, kink, fetish topic. There you go. Forced
right.
bi.
That's right, forced bi. And up next, we've got the whipping post.
Contact the Fetish Show now. By email at info@thefetishshow.com. Through our toll-free voicemail hotline, 1-888-506-0221. Or on the comments for this episode on our website at thefetishshow.com. We want to hear from you. The Fetish Show Whipping Post.
Sounds like she's having fun.
So what are we going to talk about today on the Whipping Post?
Yes, the Whipping Post, baby. We're going to talk about sexual role play.
All right.
What do you think about that? From Wikipedia, they say sexual role play is an erotic form of role play. It is a sexual behavior where two or more people act out roles in a sexual fantasy. How seriously this is taken depends on the people involved, and the scenario may be anywhere from simple and makeshift to detailed and elaborate, complete with costumes and a script. Nearly any role could become the base material for an erotic experience, and there is no limit to what objects an individual could consider sexual. You know, personally, a lot of my experience is in master and slave relationships and not so much role play, which I would consider
kind
to be
of role play in a bigger sense.
I think most people would consider, most people that are not in the community would consider it to be role play. You are definitely taking roles and stuff, but it's
sure.
something that we don't get out of the roles. It's a 24/7
right,
thing,
right.
And it's not, in this case, I think maybe what we're talking about is something that is maybe a little bit more playful.
A little more sexual.
And I'd like to say that I'm having difficulty thinking of something that maybe the general populace does as far as kinky things goes. I think this is probably the thing that the general populace does more than maybe
sure.
any other BDSM activity.
Like, you know, cops and in prisoner or,
sure.
you know, the those kind of little teacher and schoolgirl kind of role play scenarios, I think, are pretty common.
Yeah.
Even in Vanilla Wilson's bedroom, probably.
Sure, absolutely.
He's over there giving... High five over there.
Do you want me to go down these things, or do you want to talk a little bit about your own experience?
No, go ahead and let's read some of these
some
off.
Some of the scenarios that we have here, just to give you kind of a primer, is like age play, for example. 1950s household.
And these role plays, I think, kind of are geared more towards the BDSM under that kind of umbrella, more than the whole role play in general, sexual role play.
This will probably cover most of it here by the end.
Sure.
Costumes and cosplay, if you're into furries and shit. doll play, pet play, where someone plays like a kitty or a puppy or a piggy or a pony or a unicorn. Incest play.
I think you see a lot of that more in the BDSM play, probably. The pony. I think so.
Right. Kidnapping.
Yeah.
How many times have we heard about people getting captured by video cameras or something outside of Walmart, getting kidnapped, and they're just doing some sort of sexual fantasy thing, and they call the police and the SWAT team and all that sort of stuff?
I don't know. I haven't heard of that.
Oh, that happens
all
the time.
Did that happen to you or something?
It didn't happen to me. Didn't happen to me. You can't do it outside of Walmart.
Don't do that outside of Walmart.
Medical play.
Yeah, definitely BDSM.
And then like the dual roles, which is like nun and priest, student teacher, nurse doctor, daughter daddy, and secretary boss,
right?
For example.
Well, as a role play therapist myself, I have engaged in several of these in my own practice. And so I can tell you firsthand.
Yeah, it's kind of your stock and trade. Right? I mean, you do this all the time.
Well, it's one of my favorite things to do. I love role play. And as a caveat to being a dominatrix, sort of like a little side thing that I do. And I just expand upon some of the ideas and the fantasies that some of my clients have. In particular, I could tell you that the kidnapping fantasy is at large and in charge. I have one particular client who it's not necessarily kidnapping as much as he enjoys me to tie him up with nylons and to put him in the closet and to actually take money from his shirt and actually go shopping and leave him in there.
Sweet.
And come back, you know, with whatever I've bought and tried on or whatever. And
nice.
So, and the nun role play. I've done this one before, too.
Have you?
Yeah, I actually have the nun costume. And,
yeah. I think I've seen that before.
Yeah, that was pretty fun.
Yeah.
I wear a dark wig with that one, too, by the way. Some of the gender play. I have a lot of clients who are into gender play in one form or another. I actually play the big sister for one of my clients. And for another, he actually likes to be the peeping Tom. And will watch me change clothes, and I'll catch him, and I'm the babysitter, and he's in his he's only 18, I should say.
Right. So age play.
Age play. Yeah. Definitely. I won't say how old that he actually plays.
Right. I got you.
Anyway. So yeah, age play is a big thing.
Yeah, but it's important to note on that because I've talked to you about this sort of stuff before. You mentioned that some of these people come, and this is obviously there's a sexual element to some of this,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
But there's also a very deep-seated, like, psychological element where when they get to play these scenarios out a few times, that it's actually therapeutic to them.
It is. A lot of people don't realize that a fantasy that they may have playing over and over again throughout their whole life since, you know, adolescence, is not necessarily as creepy or as weird as they thought it was. And once you actually play out a fantasy, one or two things will happen in my experience. Either you will begin to expand upon that fantasy and become more detailed and more involved, or it plays itself out. And not that you lose a fantasy or the desire for it, but actually you move on to something else and it kind of plays itself out. You get the enjoyment from it. And you learn what you can from the experience, and you kind of move on to other fantasies. So I advocate for playing out your fantasies as long as they are not hurting anybody else or yourself. I think it's healthy, and it's very much therapeutic. I've had people cry after role-playing sessions. I've had people really come to some, conclusions about things or whatever. And one of the biggest conclusions I think that several of my clients have come to is that they're not sexually attracted to their sisters. That this was a time in adolescence that their sisters threw them in the closet, mm-hmm. and they were changing clothes with their friends or whatever, and he became sexually aroused or whatever. And that is just normal sexual behavior. It's not that you're attracted to your sister, because a lot of guys go through their adult life thinking, oh my God, I was attracted to my sister. No, you weren't. You were just attracted to this particular act or this particular scenario. This wasn't your sister in general.
I don't know about you, but when I hit my teens, everything was sexual.
Well, yes, and some guys are misguided. Live with this thing, oh my God. And I'm like, no, and I'm here to enlighten you. You're not attracted to her. And like, oh, I didn't think I was, but, you know, I wasn't sure. No, just... So if you play out these fantasies or whatever, I think that you can come to some great conclusions, and that may be one of them, that you're not a creepy brother, you know, you're not attracted to your sister. It just was sexually exciting to be thrown in the closet by her and her friends and tied up by their pantyhose and watch them change clothes. And but anyway, sisters, older sisters are the cause of several fetishes that I see.
Right? Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
So anyway, so that's what I have to say about role play. And
well, I mean, yeah, clearly you've had a lot of experience in that sort of thing. Like I said, my role play scenarios are nothing like this. It's not as, I don't know, I don't want to say they're not as playful or whatever, but we have defined roles, and it's not necessarily this sort of stuff that I have experience with. I think this is a pretty harmless thing to do for couples, though. I mean,
sure.
There's a
matter of fact,
lot of
it can
scenarios
be very good for them.
Absolutely, it can. I mean, this is something where, you know, a lot of people don't like BDSM, or they don't like some of the fetishes and stuff that we talk about, because it's scary to them. There's a, you know, perhaps they're worried about pain or whatever. But there's nothing wrong with saying, hey, you know, let's go out on Friday night, and I want you to go to a bar, and I want you to pretend like you're someone I've never met before,
right.
And I'm going to come try to pick you up. That's role playing.
Sure.
And it can make things kind of exciting.
And that's a common one, too.
Sure, yeah.
And I think that is an exciting one. And I think that you can get as elaborate or just as general as that, and I think it would be very healthy. And, I mean, I've done some pretty elaborate things. I have one client who's dying of cancer, and he wants to act out some of his fantasies. And so I go to great lengths to put things together for people.
Right.
But what I find is that generally people's fantasies in role play, they're pretty generic. They're pretty basic. They're
sure.
Not so strange. You know, don't be afraid to mention them or bring them up or whatever. They're pretty common. So if you're thinking of it, if it's something that you'd like to role play, or something that comes across your mind, it's come across your partner's mind too, probably at one point or another. So the part where you go out to a club and meet somebody for the first time or whatever, and for a couple, I think that's a pretty cool one.
Or you can trade your scenarios. I mean, you know, one week you do your partner's scenario, and the next week they do yours.
Or you could role play dominant and submissive.
Absolutely.
As a vanilla, yes.
Right. Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
Try it out a little bit.
I agree.
All right. Well, that was our Whipping Post segment. Up next, we have a segment on the advisor.
And now, the Fetish Show Advisor.
That's for real.
Some surreal. Hooked up bumper right there.
I actually went over to the corner for just a minute, and I just got back. It scared me a little bit. That's a very, very serious bumper.
Because now you are an advisor.
I'm an advisor.
You better bring it with that kind of bumper right there.
That sounded very serious. That's all I'm saying.
You better be an advisor.
Absolutely.
Right fucking now.
We got a call into the show from Jason and Vanilla Wilson. If you'll cue that up for us, please.
Hi, my name's Jason. Just calling, first-time caller, you know, first-time listener. Just calling to ask, what makes a good submissive?
All right, so Jason's question to us is, what makes a good submissive? We want to thank Jason for calling in. If you are interested in sending a question to the advisor, it is 1-888-506-0221. So, what makes a good submissive, Princess Zoe?
So, on this segment, the Fetish Show Advisor, we're going to answer questions from our listeners, such as Jason. Just clarifying that.
You can also, I mean, you could also send it in through our FetLife accounts and Facebook and all that sort of stuff. We're all over the place.
Yes, we are. That's right.
Catch me on Twitter.
That's a very good question. And how can you answer that in a paragraph or one or two? I think it would be impossible. However, let's try, because I think what makes a good submissive is subjective. And I think that that can be answered by the submissive and by the dominant themselves. I think that there's some qualities that you could look for generally. But however, I think that that's going to be best answered by your dominant, I believe. Dirk, what do you think about that?
Right. I mean, my routine on this is that I basically have two answers. And one answer is my answer, which is what I look for in a submissive.
Right.
And then the second answer is that I can't answer for all the other DOMs out there, because believe me, the things that I'm looking for may be qualities that no one else is looking for. It's just what matters to me.
More eloquently put than mine. Yes, I agree.
But with that said, I've got some things. But I'll let you go first, Princess Ellie.
Well, I think that in my opinion, what makes a good submissive, and there you go, it's my opinion, is someone that does not play service to me. That's one of my biggest things. Play service, what I mean by that is, Princess Ellie, I want to come over and mow your lawn. Well, that would be a service to me. However, if you want to mow my lawn in a butt plug and a thong, that's pretend service. That's not realistic. If you can...
And it sounds very uncomfortable.
And I did have someone ask to do that. How about no? Okay, that's not a service to me.
I think you're going to scare the neighbors at that point.
That's right.
One of the rules is that you don't get your neighbors involved in your own shit.
Right. If it's play service, it's not really service to me. So that, to me, doesn't make a good submissive. If I have to actually stand over you, unless it's part of our role play, okay, that's fine. If it's part of our role play for me to stand over you and yell at you and make you do it right, that's one thing. However, if you tell me you can paint the fucking wall, then you better be able to paint my fucking wall. And do it right without me standing over you telling you how to paint the fucking wall, because I don't know how. You better know how, goddammit. So, to me, that makes a good submissive.
So if you're offering to do service, you mean really legitimately do a service for you.
Right. That's, in my opinion, that's what makes a good submissive.
And then particularly if you're talking about someone who's a professional dominatrix, you are actually talking about trading services.
Well, exactly. That could be one thing, that we're trading services. However, just as a submissive in general,
right.
Don't play with me unless we're playing.
Right.
Unless I'm playing with you, don't play with me. So if you say you can do something, if you say you can do a service, then be able to do that particular thing.
Right.
Work on my computer or whatever it is.
Don't offer heart surgery unless you can actually,
exactly.
Unless you're a heart surgeon.
Don't like to play service. Play service is something different than actual service to
right.
me. So that's my take on that.
All right. What else?
Well, some other stuff, but you go ahead. Your turn.
Okay. I've got a list of some qualities that
he has
I think.
A list.
Well, of course I've got a list.
Damn,
I'm all about lists.
Put together and shit.
I'm prepared and shit. here's some things, and again, this is my list. Your list may be different. My list is loyalty, intelligence, being open-minded, a willingness to learn, attention to detail, an open heart, a desire to please, and they have to be sexy.
These are great.
Because I'm not going to be with a submissive that's like some sort of school marm, you know, thing or whatever.
And we
got to go out and hang out and do stuff. You know what I'm saying? You got to be sexy.
Wow.
Additionally, I have another couple of things. I do really like exhibitionists. That's a bonus. It's not necessary, but I like it if they're into being an exhibitionist. Obviously, it's a big bonus if we have common interests.
Well said. And I think this is a good time to point out there are some differences here in what you will see in your take on and my take as someone lifestyle and someone practicing professionally.
Right.
So you can see that there is a difference in the list.
Yeah, I mean, what you're looking for is very different from what
my
I'm
list
looking
is no,
for, obviously, very clear.
No mowing of my lawn and a butt plug and a thong. Yours are like really solid.
And I like it. And I like a submissive who is a bit of a masochist too, that likes to take some pain. Not a lot, you know, not a lot of stuff. But those are bonuses. But what I want to stress on all of this is, you know, I sat around and I thought about these things today, and these are things that, these are qualities that I think that are important for a submissive. And I mentioned things like an open heart or something, because it's important to me that the submissive is invested in what we're doing. Mm-hmm. It's very different from being in a scene. If you're in a scene with someone, they don't have to have an open heart. They just have to, you know, be into whatever it is that you're doing. Yeah, whatever it is that you're doing, that's fine. But if you're talking about someone that you're going to have a relationship or something, I want her to be into it. If she's not available, then that's a problem.
I agree.
You know, so.
And I think to answer Jason's question is to be generally attractive as a submissive, there may be some certain qualities that you want to show, but to be attractive as a submissive to your dominant, you would have to check with your dominant.
And actually, what that does is that goes right straight to the foundational elements of the BDSM relationship, which is communication.
Right.
And you have to, particularly as a submissive, because in a lot of cases you're not going to get a chance to determine what you do or where you go or what's happening. You're the submissive. You follow along with what's happening. You have to have that attention to detail, which I mentioned. You have to be paying attention to the dominant and doing your best to pick up. Sometimes dominants don't even know what they want or need. They may not even express that to you. Being a good submissive means that sometimes you know better than the dominant knows what they need, and you help provide that to them.
And that brought something to my memory, too, about being a good submissive, is being able to articulate what your needs and wants are, and what your desires are, what your fantasies are. So we can't read your mind.
I wish I'd put that in there. Absolutely. That's huge. It's that communication. It's that
right.
It's that two-way flow of information. You have to say, "Hey, this is what's happening with me here, but also this is what I need." Because
right.
if you're holding everything in and you're not expressing what you need, you know, DOMs are not mind readers. Sometimes you may think they are, but you need to be very forthright and open with what's happening.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that that's a common, not just in human nature, but in submissives in general, that maybe they don't want to speak as freely or openly with the dominant or whatever. However, you have to. You have to be open. You have to say what your needs and your wants are. You have to be able to speak that. And so someone who can articulate that to me makes
sure.
a good submissive.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, in your case, if it's not a lifestyle situation or something, they have to bring it right now. I mean, they don't have the opportunity to maybe carry it out over, you know, weeks or months or something. They have to tell you what they need immediately.
Well, I've gotten better and better at being able to get that out of people, be able to read that in people. Sometimes I know what their needs are before they do, I think. So, but and another thing about being a good submissive,
yeah.
If you have profiles out there, if you're on social networks, have a fucking good photo of something besides your dog or your dick. If you don't want to show your face, well, okay. Not your dog or your dick. And don't have this long fucking profile with like all this stuff on there that, you know, you just got divorced and, you know, you want me to read this novel about you and all these things. Be a little more brief.
Right.
And your profile writing.
Well, one thing that our production designer or director just mentioned to us, Mia Moore, is there's a whole controversy that's going on right now about the responsibility of a submissive to kind of take care of themselves by using safe words or whatever.
Right.
And in my case, I stress using safe words. I think it's important that a submissive, to be a good submissive, again, uses that opportunity to communicate with their dom and use the safe word, whether it spoils the scene or not.
Right.
You know, you got to take care of yourself. There's always next time on this sort of stuff.
I think even going a little further than that is, you need to have someone that knows where you are. If you're going to scene with someone new or even go to see a pro dom or whatever, you need to have someone that has your phone number, someone that knows that you're going to be back at 10 o'clock or whatever, and if you're not, to be looking for you. So I think even more responsibility for yourself is
right,
to...
Right, so take care of yourself.
Right. And I actually had a submissive one time that wanted to stay with me long term and not have anyone know where they were. I would not allow that. I said, absolutely not. I need to know in case there's a medical emergency. I need to have your next of kin or someone,
right.
You know, your best friend, someone that I can call.
No matter what they say, being a good submissive is not being a doormat.
That's right. That's right.
You got to take care of yourself.
You don't move off to Ohio when you live in New York because somebody said, hey, you know, come and be my slave or whatever, and you right. don't know enough about that person. That's not a good submissive.
Right.
So there you go.
So anyway, Jason, I hope that we answered your question, at least maybe in a roundabout way. We each kind of have a different take on what makes a good submissive, although we obviously agree on certain things. Communication. Whoever it is that you're dealing with is a dom, you've got to talk with them. That's what makes a good submissive.
And Jason, if you have more specific question you'd like to ask me, email me. And I'll try to answer more specifically.
That's Zoe at thefetishshow.com.
Yeah, email me anytime.
And you can obviously email her, or if you've got a question for us that you want answered on The Advisor, you can email us at info@thefetishshow.com, or again, you can call us at 1-888-506-0221. We'll play your question on the air, and we'll do our best to answer it.
Yeah, and let us know what you think about that new Advisor bumper we got going on.
It's scary.
It's scary cool.
That was a good episode, Princess Owen.
Do you now?
Yeah.
Well, then there
you go. We covered a lot of good topics and stuff.
Yes, we did.
Had some discussions and things and stuff.
And stuff. We should have more of those discussions and things and stuff.
I agree.
On The Advisor.
Yeah.
If you don't get scared.
I may have to do that from the other room, though. It's very scary. That bumper is very serious. That's all I'm saying.
It's very intimidating. Around. We're not fucking around over here.
It's absolutely not. you want to talk a little bit about Terry Jean Bedford, who we just played her episode. We just released her episode not too terribly
long ago.
Yeah,
we did. We want to thank her. She's really been pushing The Fetish Show, I guess, on Twitter and Facebook and... Google
Plus
and all this and that, and
right,
we want to say thank you for that, and we want to push her book Dominatrix on Trial.
Right,
we want to say read it, go out there and yeah. buy it. And
she's got a lot of people that follow her. She's particularly engaged on Facebook, which I'm not as much.
Mm-hmm.
But every time, you know, she puts all this stuff out, she's talking good stuff.
She likes
about us
all of her. She puts a little like button there.
Yeah, yeah. And she got in touch with me the other day, and she's, you know, she's looking forward
to
hearing from her. From you specifically. She wanted to hear from you.
Well, I want to call her. I need to call her in the next couple of days and say hello and see what's up.
That's right. All right. We also want to thank Cleese Press, who sent us the book Best Bondage Erotica 2012. That was Brenda over there who sent that to us. We appreciate
thank you.
That. Mia Moore did a review of that, and that's gone viral. The whole planet. I think
and
it was
where
like
can
number.
You see that review at?
It was like number 2 or 3 on the Twitter trending list or something.
Wow.
I think. I think Jimmy Fallon had like some sort of meme or something that he did. He may have actually been doing something on
for
that
real?
Particular review. Yeah,
cool.
It was heavy. It was heavy. I think Barack Obama mentioned it in one of his campaign stops. But that's pretty much all.
Yeah, I want to see his dick. By the way, I want to know if it's a
you
big
say that every time. What is
I
it
just
want
to know. What? I want to know.
What is it with you and our president's schween?
I just want to know if it's big or not.
Of course it's big.
Why do you say that?
It has to be big. He's the president of the United States.
I knew you were going to say that.
That's the way that it happens.
You know, it's because he's black. He's got a big dick.
He's only half black.
And so you're saying it's smaller?
I'm just saying that has no bearing. It's enough that he's president.
Maybe it's shrunk. I don't know. We'll see what size his nuts are. Just saying.
Wow. This has really gone off the rails.
And my t-shirt. I got a t-shirt.
Yes, you did.
Sticking it to the man.
It's from Tantus.
And I want to say thank you for this t-shirt.
Right. It's
awesome.
The Sticking It to the Man campaign.
Yes, and we got buttons and stickers and
Yeah. So thanks to Tantus for hooking us up on that stuff. And yes. Princess always wearing that t-shirt. We might take a picture. We should take a picture of you in the t-shirt,
yes,
right?
Yes, we should.
People would like that.
Just the t-shirt, nothing else.
We mentioned Kinky Carnival earlier. We're going to be there this year, 2012. Yes. We were there last year. We did an episode on Kinky Carnival. And if you're interested in that.
Episode 16.
Right.
You can look it up on
June
our
of last year.
Yes. Look it up on our website.
So, yeah. Go to our website, which is thefetishshow.com. You can also catch us on iTunes.
Or Twitter. Or Facebook. Or in Oklahoma City.
Just happen to be around, you could do that.
That's right. Or you can invite us to where you are, then you could catch us there.
Yeah, absolutely. I have a couple of thanks that I want to give. I want to thank our production director, Mia Moore, for all of her help.
Thank you, Mia.
I also want to thank Vanilla Wilson for engineering. And I want to thank Jay and J.A. Grimm for all their help during our meetings and
thank
stuff.
Thank you, guys.
So
all you guys.
We appreciate our staff. Thank you, all of you, for all of your help. Is there anything else you want to add, Princess Zoe?
Yes, thank you, Dark Cooper, for all that you do.
Thank you, Princess Zoe.
Well, of course, you're welcome.
And the most important thank you of all, thanks to all of you for listening to us. For Princess Zoe, this is Dirk Hooper saying, dream hard.
Thanks for listening to The Fetish Show. We are always looking for interviews with kink industry performers or BDSM lifestyle leaders. We review toys, books, and appear at events. If you have fetish news, or if you are an erotic artist or writer, then we may be interested in featuring you. Get in touch with us now at info@thefetishshow.com or visit our website, thefetishshow.com.